All right. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandy Grayson, who definitely gets it from her mama. My body, my skin, my good teeth, my good hair, my good nose, my good lips, all that good stuff came from my mama. In the studio today, I have special guests, same guests from last week, because you know we had to do part two because the conversation had got real good at the end. And you know, civic media has not given us enough time yet, Luke. So so we got to break it up in pieces. So I got in the studio today my girl, Vernay Nicole, owner, CEO of House of Beauty.
Yes, so happy to be here once again.
Right, welcome back. Like you never left.
I am Vernay Nicole. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother.
Okay. Yay.
I'm loving it. And then I am a business owner, an innovator, a book writer, a playwright, a podcaster, to name a few.
Right. She does a lot, apparently.
Yes.
And in the studio, also, we have Denise Baker. What's up, girl? You want to do a quick intro?
Y'all, she got it together. Hi, everybody. I'm Denise Baker, known as Denise Jackson on Facebook, Stephen Denise.
A.K.A. Denise Baker, Stephen.
That was your fault this time.
Ooh, my bad. Look, this time. I am a singer, a songwriter, actress, an entrepreneur.
It's crazy how black women be wearing 18 hats.
Man. For real.
Like, what you do for a living? Well, where would you like me to start?
Yes, that's for real.
That part.
So thank you both for joining us this week and returning so that we can continue the conversation from last week. And for our newcomers, last week we discussed, black people, of course. Surprise! We discussed black people, and what we did discuss is the history of slavery and its impact and the difference between people known as black in America and the difference between Africans and Caribbean folks, and how people known as black in America, we endured slavery for longer, and because of that, we have a very low self-esteem. And not only did we endure it longer, not just slavery, but kind of the residual of slavery. We also were redlined. We, you know, couldn't go to the same places as white folks. There were laws and procedures and, banking requirements that really, and I have a clip about that in a minute, but banking requirements that really kept people known as black from developing wealth and generational wealth. And the impact on us as people known as black were lower self-esteem, right? Black, what I have come to term as black inferiority. Whereas people that are from Africa or the Caribbeans, they experienced slavery, but not at the extent in which people known as black and American did, which means that they come over with lower confidence because they're not familiar with their culture, but they also come over with a higher self-esteem, with a more understanding of who they are and what they come here to accomplish, right? They come to America for opportunities. They find them, they take advantage of it. As people known as Black Americans, not all, these are generalizations, right? May not even see themselves capable of achieving or taking advantage of those opportunities. And not only that, the consequence of that dynamic for people known as black impact our relationships, right? Yes. Our ability to hold space for one another in partnership, intimate friendship, siblings, mama to kid, all kind of relational dynamics. Because if you are cultivated an environment that says you're less than and you feel less than, you start embodying being less than, and then you see others as less than and you behave in less than manners. And if in being that way, you also can't love yourself fully, because to love yourself fully means complete acceptance and that you understand that you are magnificent, right? And you can accomplish and be and do and have whatever you desire. And a lot of people don't think that way. And if I don't love me, it's hard for me to love you. So one of the things we wanted to talk about now in this part two is to really get into discovery of the impact of relationships. And I want to start with Denise, because last week when we ended, Denise was sharing with you guys that she had worked for Urban Triage. And as you may or may not know, Urban Triage is a very intense workplace. I talk about it all the time, that we are constantly trying to balance personnel with personal, providing trauma recovery and accountability, right? And accountability can be really hard because I'm in your face, right? But not loud, but yeah, kind of loud sometimes. But really, like, who are you being in the world? That's a question I ask people all the time. And once you define who you're being in the world, I'm going to hold you accountable for that. So if you're not being that, I'm going to say you're not being that. And how can we get you to be that? And what's occurring in your life? Yes. And that doesn't feel good at work. That feels really icky. And I'm not saying that was Denise's experience, but what I want to do is give you a little context because I believe and understand that Black healing is revolutionary, and we can't actually get paradigm shifts and mental shifts and get Black people the tools they need to be to thrive without the healing piece. I do it at work. And most of our work groups are founded and grounded in that. Urban Triage is founded and grounded in that. And then we started doing housing because we realized we can't teach people how to heal without having a place to sleep, because how you gonna concentrate on being better when you ain't got no roof over your head, or right, you ain't got food? So we realized we had to do that first, really following the footsteps of the Black Panther movement, right? Because the Black Panther movement was all about education. But you can't educate people when they're hungry. You can't hear you. So Urban Triage tries to do it all in real time. And people be like, why are you doing all this? Because our focus point is educating, edifying, and healing people known as Black. So let's go over here, and you're tuned in again to the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM, with your favorite hostess with the most, is the girl that you love to hate, Brandi Grayson. We have guests in the studio. We're going to go over to Denise and have her talk about her experience at Urban Triage and why she left, because she came in and she was out, okay? And this does connect with our topic of relationships and Black people. So go ahead, Denise. Share
it
your,
does.
Yeah, share. And don't, and let me tell you, don't hold out. Just share, you know, okay, whatever you think. Share.
Okay. I felt like this was a rabbit hole, but it is relationships.
It's good stuff.
And you said a couple of things, and I took some notes. Thank you for the paper. Just going off of experience of what I've been through in my life, I know what kind of person I am.
Yes.
I'm a loving person. I shine anywhere I go. Yeah. And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I get hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, a lot.
Yes.
And Nene know how I speak of you. Mm-hmm. I think highly of you. When I first met you, I told you, I was like, oh my gosh, I am so proud of you. I didn't know Brandi.
Yeah.
Brandi gave me a job.
Right.
Didn't even know me. Just, hey, you know Denise Jackson, she need a job. I give her a job. So sweet.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, the reason I left wasn't because I just, oh, I hate it here. I was going through a lot, and I have trust issues.
Yeah.
And I called you when we were on the phone, and I had a fever. I was laying on the couch. Literally, my fever was like 103. I was sick. And I was like, I'm not feeling good, you know? And he was like, well, we were working on Gusto. And I was waiting on some stuff to come through because some stuff was going on. And you were like, well, put on the mask, see you tomorrow. And I was like, my sister has cancer, two of them.
Yeah.
My sister had a stroke. She not going to, if she don't care about me, she not going to care. I don't want to waste her time, because what I tell you, I'm excellent at what I do.
Yeah.
And I can toot my own horn now because I love myself. And I've learned to, you know, shine on myself.
Yes.
Accept myself for who I am. And I love being excellent. I love doing the best job I could possibly do. And honestly, I just felt like I couldn't give that to you. But it's on me, because I chose in my mind that you were not going to understand.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yeah. So you see, like, thank you for sharing that, because this is my first time hearing that.
Yes, it is.
So could you tell us how long you have been working at Urban Triage before that point?
Before that point, for like a month and a half. Basically.
Yeah. Was there other absences or anything? Because I don't remember.
Was there any other one?
Absences? Like, were you gone before? Okay, so part of when she called and people...
Were busy.
Yeah, and what I heard her say is like, hey, I called you and I said I had a fever. And I'm like, okay, well, all right, well, just put a mask on. See you tomorrow, right? Because the content wasn't there for me, right? So if you call me, anybody call me, I'm a doer. Like, okay, well, all right, then take some medicine. We'll still see you tomorrow, right? Because we got stuff to do. That's just how I do. But if she would have said to me, right, hey, actually, I'm not going to come in tomorrow because it's actually really bad, and I think I have the flu and I'm feeling really weak, or she just gave me more content, I'd be like, okay, cool, we'll figure it out. Talk to you later. Because that's how I am. Like, but in her mind, she felt like, because I said, okay, see you tomorrow, I'll take a mask. I'm probably in the middle of a million things I do. And she felt harmed by it, or not like I would hold space for all the other stuff you had going on.
Yeah. I literally just moved here. You know, I was dealing with homelessness. You were so ready to help me with a hotel. And I was like, actually, I'm going to stay with a friend.
So wasn't that crazy that she know I was willing to help her with a job and house her at the same time? But, and whatever she needed, I responded positively to. She calls and said she has a fever. And my response, like, all right, girl, well, just put a mask. I see you tomorrow. And her response was...
I was like, oh, my God. She, like... But you, I just went dark.
Yeah, but you know how that one thing I said voided every other way that I showed up positive for you.
And that's weird, isn't it? Yes. For me now, you know, when I think about it now, and I could take self-accountability.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I just was waiting for the perfect time to talk to you. Because I sent letters to all of my coworkers.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't.
You know, we were shocked. Because everybody was like, what happened? I was like, girl, I don't know.
Because she was so excited.
She was so excited. And she was just a sunshine of love and inspiration in the space. So we all were happy to have her.
Yes.
And so excited to see how she would contribute to the whole well-being of Urban Triage. So when she was like, I'm resigning, I was like, what?
Where did this come from?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was on top of that, just mental stuff, issues.
Yes.
Yeah. Taking care of 6 siblings.
Yeah.
One of them are dead now. Just died a month ago.
I'm so sorry.
Do you get what I'm saying? I'm so sorry. So I wasn't even thinking clear.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just, to you, so I can look you in your eyes, I still think you the bomb and a bag of chips, baby. And please don't take that as I don't love you, I don't support you, because that's just not true.
Yes. I never, but see, that's the thing I've learned at working at Urban Triage and leading it and being around Black people. It's never personal, right? I didn't take your leave as personal. I was shocked, but I didn't take it personal. And it didn't affect how I see you as a person, right? Because, I mean, the work environment is the work environment, and it works for some people, and it doesn't work for others. And some people need certain things that maybe I know about, maybe I can provide, maybe I can't. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, the work isn't personal.
Yeah.
The work is work.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I could say this, too. It was one of my, like, one of my favorite jobs that was actually, like, a 9-to-5. You have to be here. Mm-hmm. I had fun. Every time I walked through the door, the people were wonderful. And she holds a class on Fridays.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it called?
Supporting Healthy Black Families.
Uh-huh. And I will tell this to the community. If you guys, I don't know if it's open to the public.
It is.
And it starts at 9 every day, right?
Well, not to that class. Our Saturday classes is open to the public.
Okay. The Saturday class starts when?
It's closed now, but...
Oh, look, I'm trying to put you back to work. Y'all,
people are already enrolled. We'll have another cohort kickoff in September, October.
Yeah. My teacher says, you didn't want to let her down. Also, stay home with a fever.
Right.
But don't I tell you that, Nene?
Yes.
I have so much going on in my life right now. See, Nene's place of work is a little more flexible.
Yeah, right.
And it's like I get to make my own schedule, so I don't have to worry about every time. Oh, my God, because I'm the only one people can depend on sometimes, I feel like.
Yes.
But you ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah, but it wasn't that I wouldn't have heard it. You just never said it.
I did.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think what we often get is people, you have to remember what role I hold, because there's people that will say I have a fever but don't have a fever. So I have to be very like mellow with how I show up. And then the folks that will say and give me more information, well, I'm not really feeling good. How can I work from home? Yeah, you can work from home. You can do this or you can do that.
Right.
But if you don't communicate, then I don't have a way to distinguishing what's happening, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So yeah, that was good. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
So that's going to connect, whether we realize it or not, right into Black dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. Because also we have a different expectation for sometimes in Black women in leadership in organizations than we do white ones, right?
Yes.
Because if we worked for American Family, we actually don't call in for 90 days because you know they would fire you.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there's a different kind of
that was the dynamic.
That was the dynamic for me, because I'm not going to do her like that.
Right. But that's also the conversation we'll get into that when we return, right? About just expectations of Black people, Black organizations, and relationships. Because this is really what that's about here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Stay tuned. We got more juice, more politics, and all that stuff with my girl, Renee Nicole, Denise Baker, and me, Brandi Grayson. We'll be back in a jiff. Your opinion is irrelevant,
but you're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. What's that? What is that? What is that music? It sounds like a... A cartoon. What is that music?
This is Stevie Wonder. This is what I played this one for you a couple weeks back.
Okay, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Okay, sorry,
no,
Stevie.
You asked me to send it to you, and I forgot to.
Oh.
But this is one of his new songs from like 2020, 2021.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
Okay, because maybe it's just the start, because I heard the instrumental that. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is that? It sounds like a little cartoon. Did it?
I did find the cartoon from last week, and I checked it out on YouTube.
You did?
The Bebes.
Oh, Bebe Kids.
Bebe's Kids.
Now you learned
something. I found it on YouTube.
So. Yes. Look at Luke getting cultured.
Period.
So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in and staying with us. Prior to break, we were just having a moment, me and Denise. She used to work for Urban Triage, and she was just sharing her experience and how things, you know, how she heard things, and then we had a conversation about it. So thank you for that. I think it relates directly to relationships and people known as Black. And one of the things that we had talked about last week is this already always listening. And that's a distinction I teach in my classes, and just being cognitive of how we see people and how oftentimes what's happening inside of us, we project outward, right? Like if you're full of chaos, then you're projecting that onto other people. If you're full of anxiety, then someone's short with you, then they must not care, or they must not be, you know, we're human beings, and we're often projecting, which is why we have to take care of the inside. So when we do project, we're projecting light, understanding, compassion, grace, right? And that's part of the walk of healing. Nene, what's your take on things that we've talked about up to now?
That makes me think about my grandchildren and my youngest daughter. They're 7, 9, and 10. And so we have these conversations about a rich mindset and a poor mindset.
Yeah.
And how they can figure out if they're in their rich mindset or their poor mindset. Mm. It comes from your behavior.
Yeah.
If you're thinking that you're not enough, no one's going to like you, you know, just the different things that kids go through. They know that they're in their rich mindset. I mean, their poor mindset. And we talk about how to shift to a rich mindset and how important it is to protect your mind. You know, because we can easily have thoughts that aren't real.
Yeah.
Like how you was just saying, sharing, Denise. Like it was your perspective. And I can appreciate that you didn't try to manipulate the situation.
No, but what?
Because it's so easy to have those thoughts.
Yeah.
And think that you can control it. Like, well, I don't want to say this because this person might do this. So maybe I should do this instead. But if you just... come from your natural self.
And not be afraid of rejection.
Yes.
And look at my life. I'm an artist.
Yeah. Yes.
I've been dealing with rejection for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think I could deal with it.
Right.
Like, oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Yes.
And it's so funny. At Urban Triage, we hold space for staff that no one, in ways that no one else would. Right?
Yes.
Like, for real. Like, we bought staff cars. We've gotten them housed. We've given them loans. We've, you know, given them therapy. We've helped out their family in other ways. We've given them leave to come back. We've you know, we let people work from home. And I've, and like you said, it's just, and what we're talking about is like, it's where you're at in the world. Because we had another person that also, excuse me,
no,
that started very similar to you, and they also quit around the same time. And then some people say, well, you have high turnover rate. And I think it's because of the way the environment functions. Like, it's actually abnormal, right? Like, you don't come into a work environment and talk about being Black. You don't talk about God in work environments. You don't talk about accountability. You don't talk about how you might have showed up with your kids this morning, right? Mm-hmm. And how it's not okay. You're not coming to work and having someone say you need to do better in your personal life, right? That could feel weird. And in this one person, this other person who was like, well, they came to us like you said you wish you would, and said, I just need more flexibility. And we gave it to them and it didn't matter. Right? We never let people work from home, but we really liked them and we thought they were really good. And we wanted to keep them. So we made an exception and said, you know what? You can just work from home. Right? Because if that's what you need, that's what it is. But then the complaint still came.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're not happy, nothing that people do are going to make you happy. It reminds me of women sometimes in relationships when we keep nagging at our men to do things and they do it and it's still not enough. Because that's one thing that my partner said to me. Like, you keep nagging. You keep telling me I need to do these things differently. When I do it, now it's something else. You know? So I think that's relative to, like, where we're at, again, with our insides. What's your thoughts?
I think about when it comes to like even business.
Yeah.
When I opened up my first salon, all I had was $700. Mm-hmm. But my mind was set on I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right?
Yeah.
And he says, seek first his kingdom and all his righteousness, and all things shall be given unto you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with my mind being set in that, I attracted a great friend
mm-hmm.
that called me every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Erica Olson
yes.
for that one. But she called me every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked everything out. When I was discouraged, mm-hmm. when I didn't feel like it,
mm-hmm.
she would say, you know, we got to do this and remember that.
Yeah.
You have to have people around you to remind you who
yeah.
you are.
Yeah.
To remind you of what they already see in you, what they saw in you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's what one of the things that I think about, how people said, you can't open a big salon in Madison.
Yeah.
It's not enough Black people. It's not enough people that will work in there. And,
yeah.
You know, and just to think like, it's been times when all 15 of my stations were filled.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just grateful for that. And I think about the mindset that I had to have during that time. Like I had to be around people that would encourage me.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't even have access to those people. I would say sometimes for me, I don't think I necessarily have access to that energy all the time here in Madison. And it goes back to that gospel song. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself, okay?
Oh, my God.
You got to dig deep inside and remind yourself whose you are and who you are
yes.
and, like, who you desire to be. So one of the things you always hear me saying is, who are you being in the world? Because who
yes.
you're being in
is
the world
who you will attract.
And who and what you're going
yeah,
to attract.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to continue this conversation here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl Brandi Grayson and my guest co-host Vernay Nicole and Denise Baker Jackson Stevenson. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a jiff. All right, now. That old school hip hop beat here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson back in the studio after a break with my co-host, guest host, Vernay Nicole, House of Beauty owner here in Madison, Wisconsin, and Denise Baker Stevenson Jackson. She does everything from lashes to eyebrows to catering. Her and her husband just launched a catering company. You can find both of these young women at 1702 South Park Street. So if you want to connect with them, you can find them there in Madison, Wisconsin. What is happening over here? Okay.
How did that
I don't know. You know, she's just been in trouble since she got here, but we're going to leave it alone. So prior to break, we're just talking about healing relationships, all kind of stuff that we were talking about. But what I want to talk about is the thing that we've been wanting to talk about, but we had invited some men on the show to talk about, and they said, we ain't talking about it. So they did not show up today. So you will. And then we had Clyde, who said he's going to show up. He's going to give the gay Black man perspective, but we don't, all the men, whether they were gay, bi, non-declaring, whatever, they didn't show up today. So you are left with three beautiful women to talk about conversations relating to Black and Black women and men relationships. One of the things that we've been talking about is how men in 2025 have been showing up. And some of the trends, let's start with you, Nene. Because you're doing people's hair, people mm-hmm. are complaining, venting to you. Okay, because I don't know if y'all ever been to a Black barbershop or Black beauty salon, but we telling all of our business in
yes.
that chair, okay? It's like our stylist is our therapist,
yes.
right? It's
mm-hmm.
the appointment I make in between going to see my therapist. So I'm in there like, girl, let me tell you what happened, okay?
Is it that much different than what you do here on the radio show, though?
Maybe not. Is it? Well, maybe.
Yeah, because you have the commonality.
I just think Brandi comes into here and she opens up that microphone and she's just ready
yes.
to go.
You're too. Right.
I love it.
But
yes.
the difference in the chair is that she gives you reflection.
Right.
So here I'm just vomiting. And Luke's like, oh,
she's
my God.
You're teaching me. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I don't have the reflection. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're just the white guy that's just like, I don't know what to give you, but I can give you presents. And sometimes that's all we need in friendships.
I give you the excellent music that I can
exactly,
provide. And sometimes
right.
I strike out and sometimes I do
you
all right.
Know, right. Look like I got you. Meet you where you at, sis, okay? But in the salon, when you're sitting there and we're, you know, you having clients share their deepest hurt and sometimes their deepest, like, upsets, what are some things that you're hearing as it relates to relationship dynamics?
Well, first of all, I consider it an honor when people allow me to touch mm-hmm. their head,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Because it's very personal. And so it's something about when you touch somebody's head that they feel like a closeness.
It's kind of vulnerable. You're in my
yes,
head.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's yeah. a level yeah, of my vulnerability. Body. And so people just open up and they say things that you would never know.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's things that I can never share with other people.
Yeah.
So I have to be personable with each person.
Yeah.
And give them their time. Like, usually when people just try to walk up to me while I'm doing somebody's hair, you know, I'll try to get them to understand this is their time.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the person that's in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hear all types of things. And, you know, I learned to be a space,
mm-hmm.
A place of comfort. And so my clients are like everything to me. I've shared so much of my own life yeah. with my clients as well. So my clients are not just clients. They're like family. Because
mm-hmm.
it's not even usual for clients to be with you for more than like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my clients, I've had them over 20 years.
So what have you heard for...
Don't get me in trouble now.
No, I'm just playing. I mean, you ain't got to tell no,
no
names, dates,
playing.
Or times, but
I know
some
you
trends that you may have heard.
Some trends is that young people, they want to be seen.
Mm.
They feel like they're not seen. They feel like they're not heard. And they don't have a space to let it out.
Mm.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, aren't ready to sit on the couch to go to therapy or to go to a psychiatrist. They don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah.
So that's been a common trend. And then also with relationships. It's no good black man out here. And, you know, even with some of my older clients, it's like, you've never dated in your 40s. Because I haven't. Like, basically, me and my husband grew
y'all
up together.
Y'all been together for...
Yeah. So we were pretty young when we got together, and so a lot of dynamics are so different
yeah.
here now.
So share some of them.
Women
taking care of men?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a dynamic that's real.
Yes.
It's not made up. And do you see it more when women are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s? Like, what are you witnessing, or is it all across?
A lot that I see right now is young women not knowing their worth.
Mm.
Like, the music
mm-hmm.
and the way that black men aren't as present in
mm-hmm.
the home
mm-hmm.
nowadays have caused black women to not know their worth,
mm.
to not know how beautiful they really are.
My God.
You know, so I find myself with the challenge of helping women to see their real beauty while they're in the chair so that they walk away with not just this pretty hairstyle, but to know that they were pretty when they walked in the door before they got the hairstyle. You know, and having conversations about the conversations that they get to have with mm-hmm. their fathers, the conversation that they get to have with their boyfriends,
mm.
and how they can stand up for themselves and, you know, require to be treated a certain way. And
So for younger women, you're seeing this trend of like just being used and abused.
Yes.
And then for your older women, what are you seeing?
The older women, they're just like, I'm over it. I've decided to be single, a lot of them.
Just giving up.
Yeah, I've decided to just be single.
Why?
I might date some because they don't want to be controlled. They don't want to be possessed. You know, it's a lot of, you know, that going on. You know, and then they don't want to be compared to the other races.
Mm.
You know, or I think that a lot of times we're seen as black women as very aggressive. Because
yes.
we've been through so much.
I've been through so much.
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt
not
you.
Not to worship mm-hmm. him.
But go
okay,
ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. No, sorry. Like, you're tuned into 92.7 up here on the Black Conversion Show, just talking about relationships. Go ahead and take it.
So I've been married for 13 years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little background on me and my relationship status.
Mm-hmm.
And we were married young and fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a wonderful marriage. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed with my girlfriends in our 30s.
Mm-hmm.
The problem now is most of the times when a woman is in her 30s, she has what? Children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What else does she have? Her own place to stay. Mm-hmm. What else does she have? Maybe her own car, her own job. Now, when they're dating, this guy is in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
He don't got no job. He doesn't have an education. He's coming over here trying to get in my life, and you can't be in my life because you can't maintain my life.
Trying to eat the fruit snacks.
You get what I'm saying? Trying to eat the fruit snacks. And now what happens is this woman, she wants companionship. She doesn't want to be lonely. Well, I could take care of myself. I really don't need him for the money.
Right.
Blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. But now when you're taking care of this man, you start treating him like a child.
Yes. Right.
Because I tell my child what to do.
What to do, how to do it, when to do it.
Yeah. I buy the food for my babies. I pay the bills so they can be comfortable.
Right.
And now you're mad because you're getting
treated like a child.
Yes.
Oh, that's.
But you're not even advanced enough to even have a relationship. A lot of them should be looking for a way to make money.
And yeah. educating themselves and healing yes. and identifying why am I a 38-year-old man mm-hmm. without the basics?
My God.
Right. And it's goes back to our conversation last week around self-esteem. So let's bring in the context, right? Because I want to make sure that we're not causing harm without context. We have yes. conversations very one-sided. So what we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks is this residual impact on Black women and Black men of low self-esteem. And a lot of these men that we're speaking of, this is not all men,
yes.
But a lot of the men that we're speaking of in this particular subgroup or population don't feel like they can. They don't feel like they have the skills or the ability, and they don't have the drive.
Yes.
The drive is missing because I just want to say, like, from the 60s and 50s, Black people ain't new to America. Like, you know, Black men aren't new to America or not new to being in this type of environment. So for me, I'm trying to get an understanding of what has switched, because the opportunities always have been the same. Racism has always been the same.
My God.
So what has happened in the last, let's just say, 2 or 3 decades that has shifted the drive? Because even growing up, that men, even we, you know, we generally have low self-esteem and always have, but there was a drive to provide. And that's what I'm trying to identify. Oh, you got the answer?
You got the
okay,
answer.
Okay, go ahead.
A little bit.
Go ahead.
What's the answer, Nene?
The whole answer. But you think back, right?
Okay.
To our parents, mm-hmm. you know, they couldn't get bank accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, women didn't even get the rights to bank accounts. So what, like 74 50, or 75?
Yeah, it was later.
Yeah. So women needed men mm-hmm. just to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about the manipulation of it. So men were able to be very obsessive over women.
And they also had many women too, though.
Yes, because we felt like we needed them.
Right.
We couldn't even really make our own money.
Money, yeah.
And put it in the bank.
Yeah.
But now women don't need men for that.
For that, yeah.
And so a lot of men are still thinking like, if I got money, I can get whatever girl I want. Ooh, or, no. you know, and the dynamics have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're realizing that we can make our own money, that we can, you know, live our lives independent. And it shows up to men like we don't need them.
Yeah.
But we do need them.
But they're not emotionally intelligent.
Some of them. Yes.
Some of them. Not all of them, yeah.
And what do we mean by emotional intelligence, Denise? Like, what are you saying?
Like, if I
by the mic, go to
oh,
the
sorry.
Mic. There
most
you go.
Women are
go to the mic.
Like, I'll just use you for an example, Brandy.
Yeah,
Brandy, or even you, Nene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own company.
Mm-hmm.
I got, like I said, I got my own stuff.
That got my own bag.
That can strike a man depending on where he is in life.
Mm-hmm.
That can
yes.
cause jealousy. Mm-hmm. Now that's blocking me from becoming close to you,
yeah.
or now I'm tearing you down because I'm mad at you up here. It's just a lot of different dynamics. They're not like my husband. We don't care who's making the money.
Right.
You
right.
making it today,
right.
I'm making
Me
it tomorrow.
Right.
Mom, Jesus.
Can
right.
we just make the bag?
Can we just make the bag?
Yeah.
But a lot of men can't handle that.
Yes.
And they try to get in relationships with very strong women mm-hmm. who have learned to be masculine, because mm-hmm. that's a learned behavior.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't know how to deal with her. But all you got to do is come in and give her the opportunity, because it used to be me. My husband gave me the opportunity to heal.
To be what, though? What are the opportunity
feminine.
To be feminine? And what do you mean by that?
Just feminine, being a woman, not being a leader. Like, I don't want to leave my husband. My husband worked for the same job for 10 years. I don't pay bills.
Mm-hmm.
He took me back. Like, when I say
look
we have to go back to Texas, we own a house. And he said, oh, before my
just
family becomes this, I'm going to take you home.
Right, right.
And I'm going to take care of you. Yeah.
So you're saying the experience of having a husband who has you covered
yes.
financially, emotionally, mentally, and just got you,
yes.
allowed you to fall or seep or stand or be rooted in your feminine energy,
yes.
which then provides what for him?
Which would provides peace.
Mm.
So now when you come home from work, a man don't mind working all day, but when he come home, I greet him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like one time he said to me, it seems like you're always frowning lately. And we was around like 20, Nine. I was around 30. I'm 35 now when this was said. And I was like, what you mean I am smelling? And I'm the kind of person I like to go back, think about situations and get accountability.
Yeah.
Because that's how you stay together.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's how you stay friends. I like or whatever it is you're doing. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when he told me that, why am I frowning? Mm-hmm. My lights are on. I have a roof over my head. When my husband checks hit the account, I got paid. You know what I'm saying? There is no, but I was used to just being in that space. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it was not needed anymore.
Right.
Like, you don't need this defense mechanism
anymore. But what did he do that allowed you to, you know what? Let's take a break. Okay.
Let's come back, 'cause
it's going to be good.
What did he
do? I want to make sure that we talk about like what that meant to be a strong, in control woman and then meet someone who says you don't have to be that no more, because you can't give aggression with aggression either and get softness. So it's like some type of, you know, again, more healing. Let's talk about this further here on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy Grayson, hostess with the Mousetess, with my guest appearance people. We have, what's your name?
Nene.
Denise Baker Stevenson. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, now, hey, you are tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl, BG, Brandy Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. One day I'm gonna be a rapper, but not today. We got in the studio Brene Nicole and Denise Baker. We're talking about relationships, dynamics, and all that beautiful things, Black women and Black men. Y'all know that's one of my favorite topics. And it is, because it's one of the hardest things I think I'm doing in my life, right? On the side of like running a business, trying, you know, even attempting to be in any kind of relationship and feeling like I can't do it and I shouldn't do it. And then also being convicted with the understanding of like, what it means, what Black love really means. It's not, and then like the outside people and your friends and everybody are always giving you this interpretation or these blogs, or you shouldn't tolerate this, and a man don't do this, he don't do that. But most of our men don't do that. So where are the men? Because if it's 100,
listen,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm gonna find a man that act like that, look like that, girl, I'm gonna end up being lonely. But then all of a sudden, also setting your boundaries around the toxicity, right? And the man having to be accountable and the woman having to be accountable. So it's this whole dynamic of accountability and healing that people must be willing to take together, or the relationship's going to be one-sided, in my opinion. But anyway, any takeaways from our last conversation? I think one of you guys were about to say something, and I said, save it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like, in my relationship with my husband, like I said, we've been together a really long time. So in the beginning, he was, like, the breadwinner. And so I really didn't have to do much. I didn't have to, but I wanted to work because I always loved doing hair. But then dynamics changed and he had to go away for a while. I'll let you use your imagination. he had to go. And I think it's really important to realize the attack of Black men in our society and the reason they want to destroy the Black family. And how much depends on the Black family staying together, you know? So with losing him for that time, I had to switch from being, at the time, I was this, you know, sweet little naive girl that thought he was the world. I still do. But
I love it.
And so I depended on him so much.
Yeah.
And when I lost him for a little bit, I had to become independent.
Yes.
And so I was no longer that sweet little innocent girl that you met. So when you came back, I was independent. Like, you know, it was hard to, it's hard to switch it on and off.
To adjust.
And so he like, where my girl
Where's
at?
My sweet Nene?
Right. And it's like, well, I had to grow up. You know, I had to do this, this, and this. I didn't have, you know, this or that. And then it took time to, you know, even offer that softness back. So I would never be the first woman.
Right.
And then just understanding that the dynamics change.
Yeah.
You know, like one person might be the breadwinner today. Somebody else might be the breadwinner the next day.
Yeah.
And still having respect. The roles don't depend on the financial situation.
Yeah, but what makes it doable, though? Because we know, like, these general things. Oh, you know, you can flip. Like, I agree
you
with all of that.
You have to throw away the fairy tale.
But also, it has to... I think what be missing from a lot of relationships is transparency and honesty. It's one thing for me to be the bread... Because on Facebook, when I post it, it's not about making the most money for me. As a woman, you know, I'm probably going to, you know, generally speaking, given the data, I'm probably going to make more money than my partner at this point in my life. And maybe not. Maybe I meet a rich man and he do what he do. But it's never about the money, but it's about the transparency, right? Like, if you have $10,000 coming in the next 3 months, but you keep it to yourself and I'm paying all the bills, Roger, we have a problem.
We do.
Yeah. Because when you get money, you're supposed to be like, sis, I got this or this. Like,
but did you have an agreement about that?
But that's the thing. Like, how do you have an agreement if you don't even know how to make an agreement? Like, so my point is, like, say, for example, the agreements come because you are transparent, right?
Right.
Like, you can't make an agreement about you winning a lottery if I didn't know that you won the lottery.
But at the same time, you got to remember you were raised in two different homes. It might have been normal for his mom to keep her own money and, you know, the man to pay all the bills.
But if you're the woman and you're paying all the bills and you keep all your money, I mean, most men know they're supposed to contribute to something, don't they?
Yeah, I would think so. But
what agreement we making here on Black Conversion Show? You're tuned into 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Again, talking about relationships. We got other guests now, so y'all just don't have to hear my opinion. Go ahead, Nene. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's, you know, people come from wounds. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It would be wonderful if people could just come into relationships perfect and stuff. We just love them and like them all the time. Mm-hmm. But can you love them when you can't stand them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how do you... I guess I'm looking for the magic portion. Like, I'm looking for what part of the man has to show up. Because I feel like as women, we know what parts of us needs to show up to make it work, because we're always trying to make it work.
But we disappoint men too, right?
Yeah,
because they think we're supposed to show up in a certain way.
Yeah.
But it depends on our background, where we come from. That's where the counseling comes in.
I'm done with Nene. Go ahead, Denise.
That's what the counseling comes in.
The question is, how do they show up to allow you to be feminine?
Yeah.
Just show up in your masculinity. For instance, my husband is really good now. We're putting his foot down. Because if you don't...
I like when a man puts his foot down.
No, women like it. Women like it. Yes. And I want to know that
they don't
you're here.
Push no, because no. I will push you all right on over.
No. And a lot of men cannot do it.
Yeah.
For instance, we had a little situation with my mother-in-law, which I love. You know I love you, Mama Kim. I do. But my husband had to go to his mother and do a hard thing and be like, hey, Mom, A, B, and C, I'm going to have to side with my wife.
Right.
And this is what's going to need to happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you always got to side with your wife.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's hard, too. You always, and I got this from a man. Your woman always comes first. Your household comes first. And that means above everybody. God first, and then y'all, right?
Go ahead. Yes.
I'm sorry.
So when he did that, right, it made me soft. Oh, okay.
I can trust you.
I can trust you.
To protect me.
Yes.
Yes.
And I know now that it's us against the world.
Yes.
I can stand 10 toes down when you act in a way that allows me that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I feel like we're be missing in our conversations. Like, you have to show and prove to a woman that's full of masculinity or independent that it is safe. And you show a woman that is safe through your actions, through you putting them first and prioritizing the relationship. We'll be back here in the GIFT on 92.7 FM. It is getting hot in here on the Black Conversion Show. Stay tuned and continue to listen.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.